Good morning. I'm your host, bright and early, 9 o'clock, welcoming you to the July 11th, 2023 edition of Ask a Leader. Today, my guest is Dr. Irisha Gunasinghe. Let's have a listen to her now. My guest for the full hour is Irisha Gunasinghe, who is specializing in cardiology and internal medicine with a former private practice in Ridgecrest. She's now in a practice there as CEO at Compassionate Doctors. With her remarkable blend of lifelong individual practice of meditation and clinical grounding, Dr. Gunasinghe's work has always been focused on root causes in medical situations. Social scientists may refer to it as the upstream factors. Originally from Sri Lanka, Dr. Gunasinghe completed her medical school in Colombo, Sri Lanka, spent a year in the United Kingdom, her residency in a Yale-affiliated program in Connecticut, and a fellowship in cardiology in New Orleans. She started her own practice in 2001. She previously launched a couple of blogs, peoplepower77.blogspot.com and unitingtheusa.blogspot.com. Most recently, she's here with us with Compassionate Doctors in California, focusing on Helping Hand, a not-for-profit work, and Vipassana meditation. We'll revisit together some of what she brought in May 2017 on an earlier program and see what her Be My Best movement and these other undertakings are all about. We're recording this on July 6th. Welcome back to Ask a Leader, Dr. Irisha Gunasinghe.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And before we go much further, since we've been interacting over these last 7 years, I'm asking if it's all right if I continue in this interview to refer to you by your first name.
Please do.
Okay. Thank you, Irisha. Well, I'd like for you to start by telling us about your Compassionate Doctors and Be My Best movement, how this was a very natural transition from your earlier private practice. You learned a great deal in that practice. Those were some essential beta tests of how people could improve their physical and mental well-being, what your patients understood from your guidance, and how they responded. Reminding people generally who are listening that the setting where your practice is, it's in Kern County, Ridgecrest, California, east of Bakersfield and south of the China Lake Naval Air Base. So that's the setting. What led you through this transition, what you learned from your practice earlier?
So I've been a physician and then later as a consultant cardiologist for nearly 20 plus years now. And one of the things, the more I practice, the more experience I gained, I realized is that we really have to look at ourselves in a holistic manner. Basically treat the whole patient rather than just an organ, because that is how we will achieve a true peaceful mind and a true healthy body. So that is what I have always focused on, even when, you know, I was doing pure clinical cardiology. And one of the things that I kept coming back to is, how do I get my patients to live a healthy life? What is preventing all of us all over this world getting there? And I've, over the years, with lots of studies, I've come up with like four things that we need if you are to have a healthy body and a peaceful mind. So, and the clinical rationale for this, I do have to go back a little bit and make it more logical. So if you think of a little baby soon after birth, how they get their data is by mimicking what they see in the surrounding area.
And what they hear.
What they hear, their experiences. And what happens is that It's like a computer's BIOS system, you know, the basic foundation that we then tend to build up on. So those 0 to 5, you know, everybody now knows about it, is a really important time in our lives. But unfortunately, all over the world, every child does not have the best opportunities to gather the best experiences during that time. But that is totally out of our control, especially in my case, because I deal with adult patients, not kids. So then after that, I kept trying to learn, how do we change? How do we improve? How do we get better? And no matter what you read, no matter what you study, it is just one thing, which is, again, repetitive experiences. The key word is repetition. So that is why a lot of people, if you, you know, listen to TED Talks or listen, read any book, they'll say the top 5 people that you associate is critical for your well-being. Same thing goes to the data and the experiences we constantly get from the outside world. So basically, we can change. All of us have the power to be our best by understanding how we change. And that is by associating with people you respect, values you respect, and also not getting exposed to things that are detrimental to us. Now, the current world situation with mainstream media or social media, everything seems to be sending us negative messages rather than positive ones and ones that inspire us. But at the end of the day, we are empowered to decide whether we are going to get that experience or something else. But for that, we have to be made aware of that. So to me, it's really the number one public health service I, as a physician, can do to society. Because if I share that fact and remind people how important it is to get positive information, and also have a mission of being your best, nobody, wherever you are, whatever the circumstances you are in, be that you are homeless or you are in a multi-billion dollar mansion, you have the power to be your best. But for that, you have to know how. And no matter who we are as human beings, it's the repetitive information we get that's going to change us. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And I want to also just bring to your attention, and listeners may recall when I had Gloria Mark, who is a computer science researcher, a faculty member at UC Irvine, and her latest book is Attention Span, A Groundbreaking Way to Restore Balance, Happiness, and Productivity. And what you're talking about is what she mentioned is agency. We have the agency to make choices that will sort of restore our balance. And there is so much that she had to say that it may be for you reassuring to know there are so many allies in other fields that are reinforcing this practice of your own that is so very special.
That is so true. And it is so heartening, and that gives me great hope for the world, is that more and more people are thinking like this. And the more information we can share, which is what public health education by definition is then it's up to the individual human being to use that knowledge. Now, the second reason I started the Be My Best movement is, there is this saying that whenever we try to meet with a patient individually or as a group, we have to start where they are. We can't start some other place and start like giving lectures. That's not going to work. So the unfortunate thing is we have been bombarded with so much information that most of us do not have the peace of mind or the quietness to actually contemplate on who am I, how am I going to be the best person, because there is so much clutter coming at us from every direction. So this is the reason why I decided to make these tiny little things called mini habits. And they are just 3 minutes long because that's where majority of us are. And that was the reason for those concept of mini habits.
So that's what you were talking about. And I think I'd like for you to remind listeners who didn't have the benefit of hearing your interview in 2017, what your patients brought to you, what you went to where they were in the stress. They were in a living a culture of stress. They were targeted by a kind of media that knew where how to activate the amygdala. You didn't talk about the amygdala, but that's the home office
Yes,
of all the stress and the target. So if just a brief rehashing of what your patients brought to you, and everybody can remember how 2017 felt, and your patients were all over the political map, but they had a very uniform, stressful disposition they brought to you. So your secret medical sauce that you proffered them, which gave you a, that was what's part of that beta test to where you are now in your current practice.
Yes, actually, it's like evolution, you could say, because when I first started in my practice, I just wanted to make my patients be their best, health-wise. But from my childhood upbringing, I knew that the body is not just one little blob. The mind-body connection was critical, and I knew that since childhood. So I brought that from the first day I started practicing medicine to my patients. And things were rather peaceful. And with the Western medicine scientific knowledge, I was able to help a lot of people. And things took a drastic turn because a certain sect of the world, it's a worldwide problem, is what I am beginning to see, is that they started learning how, by repeated messaging of different kinds, people could be misled and stressed out to the point. And it is the same principle that was used long ago in the cults. Is like if you keep repeating the same information over and over again, however, your IQ might be very high, but you all of us are susceptible to repeated messaging, to the point that it changes our wiring of our brain. And then that changes the way how we see the world and how, most importantly, we take care of ourselves and our loved ones. That is where the problem was. The method of obtaining information started hurting my own patients. That's the red flag that really prompted me to go deeper and try to understand what's happening and why is it happening. More importantly, what can we do as individuals to protect ourselves from that? And that was the beginning of this journey where I have realized, number one, it's a worldwide problem. Number two, if I can share with the whole world that it is a dangerous thing that's happening, but we can protect ourselves, and then actually give little itty-bitty things that they could do to actually start making the transition. All this time I was just sharing the problem. I thought it was time I shared easy to implement solutions that they can do no matter where they are, because the more their mind gets calmer, the healthier their bodies get, the better we can be as individual human beings. And a community or a society is a group of human beings. And thereby, slowly but surely, we certainly can change the whole world. And that for the better. And that is kind of my ultimate mission.
And that's sort of an abstract kind of relay. And I just want to give you a chance to say about how you went upstream with your patients and you turned off a spigot. You prescribed
Yes.
for them 6 weeks. Let me not get in your way of telling how you intervened
Yes.
with your patients. You would not pathologize your patients. You would go upstream and get to the root cause.
Yes. So what I did it myself too, is that I realized that it's the repetition and it's the toxic matter that was being repeated at us. So that's why, to be honest, to be very specific, I asked them to turn off their TV. That was what they did. And it really made a difference because
Six
their
weeks.
Blood pressures came down.
Yes.
And they looked more calmer. And 2008 was when I started that. And that's the year I got rid of my TV. And I haven't had TV since then. And I see that it really made a difference in my life and my patients' lives. But now things have got really out of control, but that's another story. But the basic principle that is at work is the same. We are getting repetition of toxic information coming at us from all over the world, and it's up to us to protect ourselves and our loved ones. That is our responsibility, and we can do it.
For those of you who've just joined us, my guest is Dr. Iresha Gunasinghe, and she is a consultant and a cardiologist talking about her work in Compassionate Doctors in California, focusing on not-for-profit work and meditation. And she's talking a bit about the My Best Movement. So those are some of the elements I'm thinking you've mentioned all of those, and there's a lot to say about each one. We've got plenty of time. There's the focus. There's several aspects of our lives that you lead through either formal presentations or you're packing this in YouTube presentations that are, people can catch it on the fly. They can be grounded when you're taking in the YouTubes, but talk about those things that you want people to focus on. Take your time, yes. Iresha.
Yes. So the focus of the Be My Best Moment, it's a hashtag Be My Best Moment, is to help you wherever you are to be your best. And if we are to be our best, we have to focus on four categories. And the four are, number one, you have to have a healthy body. The healthier you are, the easier it is for you to be a better person. The second one is to have a peaceful mind. And the third one is true financial freedom. And that I'd love to expand on it
Please,
in
yes.
a short moment, but I want to mention the fourth one, which is an ethical, honest life. So these are the four facts that I've identified as things that we have to really focus, and you have to focus on all of them. Otherwise, it is hard for us to be our best. And it is a lifelong journey. And it is one that we have to embark on today and keep getting better. And you should never compare yourself with someone else, but your own self. So your job is to be your best starting today, and tomorrow try to be a better person and a better person as you go forward. Those tiny little 3-minute YouTube videos, which you can find at Be My Best Moment. We try to put one out every Thursday. And they are just 3 minutes. They are habits that you could easily incorporate into your life. Now, a habit has three components. And this is something that I learned quite some time ago. And I found it a very useful tool in my own life. every habit has a cue, something that focuses us to get there. And then the cue leads us to some kind of a action, and we go there, try to do that action because it gives us a reward of some kind. For example, you see a picture of a ice cream cone or as an advertisement on your TV, immediately we think that is your cue. Oh my gosh, I have some ice cream in the fridge, I should get some. So that cue, that seeing the picture was your cue to go and get some, and then you get some and you enjoy it, and that is your reward. So these little videos, they all have a one little cue and then a mini action, which is a tiny little action. And our goal is with these mini actions, as you keep doing these mini actions, they will change your life for the better. And they are easy to implement because there is nothing like asking you to run a marathon every day. You know, it's not going to happen. And that's why a lot of the New Year resolutions fail, because we think of these big mega changes that we are trying to do. And it's almost impossible for any human being to do that, you know. But a tiny little thing you can easily add in. And most of the cues that we are giving in these videos are cues that you already have. For example, you lay down in bed to go to sleep. At that moment, if you can just wish your body well, which is one tiny little action, the cue is already there. It's something you do. And this is like takes like 2 seconds. But it starts creating a mind-body connection again, because we are so focused on the outside world, we have forgotten to listen to what our bodies are saying until it's screaming at us, which is like, you know, you get your heart attack or get a massive stroke. The tiny little messages that your body is giving you is lost because we have forgotten the art of listening to our own bodies. So that is one single example of a mini habit that you could do, anyone can do. So that is the kind of stuff that we are trying to introduce. The second aspect of it is a little scientific and very important fact, how our mind works when we are stressed. Because when we are stressed, well, I should say it this way. Our brain has basically several parts, but the most primitive part of our brain is the part that all animals have, which is the one that controls our breathing, our heart pumps, so on and so forth. So they just happen in the background. And then the most advanced part of us is just behind our forehead, which is called the frontal lobe. That's the part that develops from 0 to 5, you know, and then it continues to develop until we are about 25. That's the part that tells us whether something is good or something is bad. The best example I normally give is, you know, I have a slightly big nose. So a 2-year-old might look at it and just blurt out saying, you have a big nose. But a 4-year-old will still see the nose, but they will not comment because they know that it might hurt my feelings. That decision-making comes from the frontal lobe. That's the one that tells us, no, I shouldn't say this because it will hurt someone's feelings, or no, I shouldn't do this because it's not the right thing to do. Those decisions are made in the frontal lobe, and it continues to develop until we are about 20 years of age. Now, why did I bring that up? Because it is only logical to then think, if we are to be our best, we have to have a well-functioning frontal lobe. Logical, right? So what happens when we are stressed? It could be because we are so messed up with all the tasks we had to do, or we've been made angry because of all the horrible negative news that we keep hearing over and over again, or the worries we have, or the fact that we haven't got enough sleep, anything, or that we are very sick, worried about our finances, so many things, all of that, the body perceives only one way. There's only one way it perceives as stress. And what is the three reactions the body can do is we can run away from the stress, or we can fight the stress. And then now we say we might freeze, just like there's a tiger coming running behind us. So it's the same reactions we have. In all three reactions, our frontal lobe shuts down, because now is not the time to be thinking what's right and what's wrong. It's the time to escape from this horrible nightmare we are in. And that is how the body perceives it. But for us, we don't have a tiger running behind us. It's just that the whole 24/7, we have all these stressful thoughts, and it's like we are constantly running. So our frontal lobe never has an opportunity to start activating and thinking, how can I be of service? How can I be my best self? We don't have time to think. And it is not acting because of the chronic stress that has been put in front of us. So as a physician, as someone who's trying to educate the public, my job number one is to give tiny little tools while you are running away from the tiger, the perceived tiger, to say, hey, just do this little thing. Maybe the tiger will stop coming after you, as an example. So then your frontal lobe will start getting reactivated, and then you are in a better position to make better decisions. And as you make more and more proper, appropriate, good decisions, it's easier for you to become a better person. And that is the mission of Be My Best Woman.
While we're talking about stress, I ask other guests that are qualified to take this up, but for people, I always consider what role genuine trauma, and I am thinking of people who have witnessed, who've been abused, whether they've experienced violence directly or indirectly, and recurrent developments in the news that cannot be avoided. They just cannot be. It's a pervasive condition. I want to know, in your practice, Iresha, how you, when you're going to identify somebody who's really gone through some real trauma. Or there could be, I will bring up with other guests, intergenerational trauma. And I'm spared that, but I know it's there. And you may have maybe a whole other, I mean, you know the repetition is effective, but maybe there's where you really dial up something very specific to deal with that condition.
Yes. The good news is, irrespective of what the trauma was, there are some standard key practices that can help anyone. And these are very practical, and I personally practice them. So I can give you literally 100% guarantee that they work. And I've shared this with all my, 30 years of medical practice. I've shared it with them, and I'll share a few of those. The first thing that I keep telling all my patients is to journal. Now, it's not the traditional journaling if you are stressed about something. Let's say it is something very, very personal that you dare not talk to anyone because it's so horrible and you don't want anyone to know about it. Even in those instances, it's best to, like, if you have to get professional help, of course. But then if you're reluctant, this is a technique that can help in that kind of situation. Plus to some little itty bitty thing that bothered you today, like your best friend saying something that is hurtful and it hurt your feelings, even for things like that versus something very serious that is ongoing, the method of journaling is to actually grab a piece of paper, and you do have to be in a safe place. This is very important. It could be inside your car, in a library, I don't care, or in your bedroom if you have one. And it has to be someplace safe. That's number one. Number two is you start just writing out all the frustration, the sadness, the fear, the anger, like you are talking to someone. And then you shred the piece of paper. You never read it, you never look at it, and you shred it into small pieces. And there have been instances in my own life where I have used that technique. And in fact, up to date, I use it. And sometimes you have to keep writing the same thing over and over again over a series of days until it dissipates. And this, I don't have a scientific explanation, but there's this magic number, which is 21 days. I have no idea why, and I've talked to so many of my patients and they agree with me. Sometimes you have to write something for 21 days, and you probably write the same thing, a little bit variation. And like on the 21st day, whatever that thing, it lifts up, it separates out, and you start seeing it in a different perspective. It's not that the horrible thing changed. It's just that your perception of that thing changes. And as it settles down and separates out, rather than being in this big blob, it starts an internal healing process. And I've seen it happen over and over again. So that is number one easy method that anybody can do anytime, which is called journaling. The second thing is also a method of calming yourself down. I'm not going to go into the technical parts, but imagine there is, you know, whenever we go into like the Walmart or whatever the stores that we go into, there's security person who's keeping an eye who's coming and who's going, right? So likewise, as our mind settles down, you start seeing the emotions that come in and go in our mind. Now, it is not a 24, it is really nice if we can see it all the time, but you start becoming aware, okay, I'm getting angry. Okay, I'm about to cry. Okay, something, whatever the negative emotion, now it's coming up. Whatever the negative emotion, if you can have a method of stopping it, it stops the proliferation and it making worse to the point that we lose control of whatever that situation is. So here's another technique. You heard people say, count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Not go up, but count down. Like whatever that thing comes up. This will only work along with journaling, because journaling is the way you actually get rid of the emotion. But this is like, say you are in the middle of driving and all of a sudden these things come up. You can do that and then stop that proliferation and it getting out of control. I personally was taught meditation at a very young age. So I personally use a technique where I watch my breathing. Like if we watch it for like 5 breaths, just your normal breathing, which you have to practice. It's not going to happen all at once because then you will start hyperventilating. But if you just watch that, it's such a peaceful action. And if you just get your mind to switch off from this horrible thought and just have a peaceful action of that going up and down about and count up to 5 breaths, it also helps us to relieve it. The third one is the art of wishing yourself well. So immediately you have this negative, horrible thing come up, you start wishing yourself well, starting with your brain. You think about your brain and say, may it be well. You think about your face, you wish it well, your neck, your heart, so important. Focus on your heart and just wish it well. And what you're doing is you are having compassion or kindness directed towards you. And that changes our chemical stress hormones to one of kinder set of hormones, and it calms you down. The moment you calm down, your frontal lobe starts acting again. So all these techniques have one purpose in mind, which is to reactivate your frontal lobe by cutting down the stress hormones. And what I've seen is the four categories of Be My Best Moment, the reason I chose those four is they work in harmony together to help our frontal lobe to go up. And that's kind of my hope. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, as I listen to you ever attentively, because I always get so much, I'm not sure if listeners hear, and I want to be very clear, Be My Best Movement. It sometimes yes. sounds like you're saying moment. Be oh, My no. Best Movement. So it's, yes. it's kind of interesting how they both, they have a similar sound to them, but I want to make sure listeners are hearing Be My Best Movement.
So, yes, so it's M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T. There's a V there.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's yes.
And so one of those cues that you're talking about, the practice, a cue could be if somebody just notices their breath is short. That could be a cue.
Yes.
I mean, yes. that was like the wherever you are in any moment. So I'd like, while you're talking about this, you still want to talk about the true financial freedom and an ethical, honest life. Those are other aspects of our lives that yes. you want to talk about. And maybe you can, as you're explaining these, and you refer back to healthy body, peaceful mind, how are your patients responding? So any listener can say, oh, yeah, well, how does that work, though, in the clinical setting? So yes. as you give us those aspects, how are people responding yes. to
Actually,
you?
As I said, from the very beginning of my practice, and as you know, my practice was mostly focused on cardiology.
Yes.
I have used these, but I never kind of made them public. That's why I said I could give you 100% guarantee, especially on the technique of journaling. These work, and there is no reason why anybody cannot use them, irrespective of what your circumstances are. So yes, they work, but just like anything else, like if you want to be, you had to practice it, you know, whatever. If you want to be an Olympic swimmer or you want to be good at playing the piano or whatever it is, the more you practice, the better you become. And again, you heard the famous thing about a new habit. You know, you have to do it for 3 weeks to at least get established. And it takes really 3 months for it to become part of your normal self. So these things are things that are very important, you know, that is really in your hands. All we can do is empower you, but it is you who has to do that. And so they were.
So I'm gonna insist on some kind of patient kinds of testimonials that you know that because you are not there to pathologize your cardiology, your internal medicine patients. You're here to go upstream and get to that root cause.
Exactly. Yes. So I can
a story or,
you know
or 6,000.
Oh yes, there's thousands of stories. So let me pick one. Yes, I had a young gentleman who is in the military who was sent to me because he had chest pain. And, you know, it's not a good thing to have chest pain. So my practice is a little bit unusual in the sense any new patient that comes, I spend about 2 hours with them. My first visit is very long. And so as I was talking to him, of course, I had to do all the heart-related testing, but even before I went in, I had to do them to prove to the military that Everything is structurally okay. I knew what his problem was. He was stressed due to the, you know, there's a hierarchy in the military and you have to conform to certain things. And his personality was such, he is a team player, but he's not a hierarchical team player. He's a more of a network kind of a team player. So this was bugging him big time. And again, you know, I told him about the journaling technique. And each time he would feel this, I told him to do it every day, irrespective, but also to tear the piece of paper. Because this is very important because we are deadly scared of certain things and we would not write them if we think somebody else can see them. You know, it's human nature. So it was very important that he shreds it immediately. It was very important that he is in a safe place, so on and so forth. After about 3 weeks, I knew why he was getting chest pain, but that is a useless piece of information. But as he was writing it, he started seeing why he was getting chest pain. You see, that is the empowerment I'm talking about, because you start seeing for yourself what the situation is. And then you can, if you need help, we can talk to each other in this situation I did. But even yourself, you can see, okay, this is why I'm feeling like this. This is how I can get away from it. So that is a simple, and that story, I can give you hundreds of examples, but the principle stays the same. Does that make sense?
I appreciate that. And I was wondering if you're going to take us to a PTSD situation, but it was an organizational chart that was undermining this individual's sanity and that work. So,
yep.
So you were talking about the four main aspects of our lives and you're working your way to the true financial freedom. Didn't see that coming until I started listening to some of your presentations. Why, you're going to explain why money is not the only tool we have, and then there's better tools.
Yes, yes. This, you know, harks back to the time as soon as I started practicing medicine and earning real money, I was fortunate enough to I'm the founder of a non-for-profit called AHH, a Helping Hand. So I've been, since childhood, we've been doing non-for-profit work. And one of the things I am seeing, especially where I am originally from, which is Sri Lanka, is that we used to use and we have a lot of tools to make our lives better. And over the years, especially in the last two generations, we have forgotten all the other tools. And now money has become the main tool. And in 2 seconds, it is not a logical place to be for a majority of us in this world. But what we keep doing is trying to grab the tiny little bit of money that is available to us, because the majority is being siphoned out of society into a smaller number of people in this world. The last time I heard, I'm not sure, I have not really looked at the statistics, but I heard was that 3 people in the United States have the same amount of money as 50% of the United States. So that's like 150 million of us have the same amount of money to achieve whatever the needs we need. And 150 million of us have only that much of money. I mean, think about it. It's mind-boggling. So the trick is not to keep shouting at the guys who are collecting the money. The trick is to find other means of achieving our goals. And as human beings, our needs are very minimal. You know, we need food, air, shelter, things like that. So if our frontal lobes are working, we can look and say, what do I need to be a happy human being, even if I don't have money? And one of the things is get together and work together. In Sri Lanka, we used to use a term called Shramadana, which I really want to activate it's lost even in Sri Lanka at this moment. And the word means, shrama means your energy. Dana means donation. So basically, if a whole bunch of us gets together, we can build a house. We don't need to pay money to someone. If we need food, we can create a community garden. And then, you know, everyone benefits. I am kind of trying to bring a point here. And the second thing is learning the art of being grateful, because the current marketing atmosphere, their only way is to force us to buy things. And the only way they will get us to buy something is if we think we are lacking in something. I still have things like my address book, which I look for many, and I have an electronic, you know, a software program, and the one from 1998, I still love that. So I keep installing it into my later laptops, but I love that. So I don't see a need to get another one because it's working for me and it's still reinstalled. One of these days it's going to stop installing, but it's still installed. So likewise, if we know what we want from a certain thing, just because somebody says, okay, buy the latest iPhone, latest whatever, we don't really need it if all our needs are being met. And that is how you become grateful for what you have. And that will stop us from getting unnecessary, useless advice from the outside world saying you don't have enough, and you start becoming unhappy, wanting more and more money to buy useless things. So being frugal, being grateful, working together, and the last one is sharing. You know, whatever we have, for example, you know, I have my own garden and I'm also active in community gardens. When I have food, I send it to my neighbors, and when they have something, they give it to me. So sharing, so we don't have to buy things. There's other ways of getting things. But those things, you have to think outside the box. And the only way we can think outside the box is if our frontal lobes are working. Otherwise, we don't have the ability.
So, and back to the earlier principle is through repetition. So that once we get it started, it's probably going to lower the barrier to following up on that in those aspects. And I'm sure as a cardiologist, you will say there is something chemical that happens in those steps taken towards that, what you call true financial freedom. Frugality, gratitude, resourcefulness, sharing, and collaborative efforts.
Exactly. And as they work together, your mind becomes peaceful and you will find more and more solutions. And that way, you will have a healthier body because you will start having less stress hormones, and you will also have the time to learn how to eat properly. What, you know, you will have quiet time. The more quiet time you have, the better it is for your body. And you need to get enough sleep because now you are worried and you are having insomnia. All those, it's like a vicious cycle that we need to break, you know, and then everything will start getting better. And we can have that world today if we start using all the resources we have, not just money. Does that make sense?
It does. I want to remind guests, for those who've just joined us, my guest for the full hour, you're hearing Dr. Iresha Gunasinghe. She's a consultant and a cardiologist with a practice in Ridgecrest, California. And she's talking about all her work with Compassionate Doctors in California, where she's CEO, and other nonprofit work. So, and then another of the four aspects, the last one is an ethical, honest life. What do you mean by that? It's not so abstract.
No. You see, in my own life, I constantly look at myself as a to learn more about me and then also how I can help my patients and the rest of the world. And one of the things I've noticed is it's easier to be honest if you have money to buy food, right? If you are super hungry and your kids are crying out, you might go and steal some food because you are so helpless. But on the other hand, you had access to a community garden and all you had to do was to go and get some from there. And it's honesty, you know, and it's easier to be honest if your basic needs are met.
Right.
So what I've learned is preaching to be honest, preaching to be good is important, but it's not very helpful in this current situation. What we have to do is to give the tools and give it in a way that people can use it so that they have a peaceful mind, they have a healthy body, and they have the sense that they have true financial freedom. You know, I'm not talking having billions of dollars in your bank account, but whatever the few dollars you have, it is enough. The moment you start looking at the world that way, you will become a more ethical and honest person. So hence the reason I put it as the last thing, because it's easier to be that if you have your needs met. So we have to help people to get there, and then you will be there, and so will the world.
One thing in your YouTube messages, signing people on to My Best Movement to participate in these step takings, you mm-hmm. want people, first you say, have your family join in this.
Yes.
These improvements. And then you want people also to subscribe to taking in these messages of yours. And I wonder, I know it's not Iresha trying to be the world nationally renowned phenom on YouTube, is I'm thinking you're trying to build in some kind of an accountability so people will prevail. Is that your sort of hidden technique?
If I have to be honest, the biggest problem just now is that there is so much noise in this world. Getting the message out has become the biggest challenge. And the tools we have, at least for me, is very limited. And if you don't hit a certain percentage of the population, nothing gets done. And the magic number is supposed to be 25% of the population. So this is a way I want folks to help me to get the word out so that more and more people can benefit. That was the reason. That's number one reason. And then the second reason why I keep harping on, please invite all your friends in and please invite all your loved ones in, is remember the first principle we talked about? The people around you is who's influencing your thinking. So if we can get the people around you to start thinking like you, your journey becomes easy and they too are going to benefit from this whole thing. And then as more and more people join in, the world will be a better place. That is the reason why I keep asking people to please help me to spread the word, because that's how we will create a society that we will all be proud of.
So it's creating a critical mass. That's a goal.
That is the correct word, yes.
As well as creating healthy surroundings for each individual that's practicing
this. Yes.
So there is another technique that is included in your messages. I don't think I'm stealing your thunder because we all have to hear this up to 28 times over 21 days and that kind of thing. But you talk about how a person concludes their day. It's a lovely step taking. And I just started it. Let's just see how long. Let's see if I can get to day 20.
That is great news.
Day
yes.
one. But
so one of the things, and again, I do this myself. So I can tell you firsthand, it has helped me. And I sincerely hope it will help everyone else too. So every habit, the way that we structured them was there's a cue. The queue is 30 minutes before bedtime. We would like you to set up an alarm. So that is the time you start prepping for one of the most important parts of the day, which is sleeping. So as that's kind of my goal to get you there. So 30 minutes before you set up an alarm permanently, you stop everything you're doing and think of one thing that happened well and something that you are grateful for, and you actually write it down. Writing is critical for our brain to actually assimilate that. So that's one mini habit. And then we kind of piggybacked the second mini habit into that, where you look at your calendar and everything that you have to do, and then plan your next day. Because now you will be starting next day in a very clear-eyed way, and it is organized. And then the final thing is, as you lay down in bed, you wish yourself well and you wish the world well. And that will be the last thought as you fall asleep. So these were three separate mini habits. And my goal is to keep adding good things like that, which you can easily do, so that you as a person will have peace of mind. Does that make sense?
Of course, everything you've been telling us makes plenty of sense. It's a matter of taking that moment, understanding agency, and acting on that. And so just before we conclude, you can let people know exactly once again how best to follow you and how best to sign up for those YouTube mini habit. It's 3.5 4-minute sessions.
Yes, please. You could join us in three ways. Number one, you can search for the hashtag Be My Best Moment, spelled MOVEMENT. Or on YouTube, we are at youtube.com/@BeMyBestMoment. And we also have the same website, which is www.bemybestmoment.com. Have a Facebook page. So always you could search for the Be My Best Moment and you'll get us somewhere. Our goal is to invite you to sign for the newsletter or subscribe for the YouTube channel. That's the two ways that we are hoping to send this message to the whole 8 billion brothers and sisters we have. That is my goal.
So we're matching your grant, Goddess of Mindfulness, but we need to subscribe to create that critical mass. That's how we match
yes,
your
please.
Grant. Okay.
Yes,
well,
please.
Well, Iresha, thank you so much for this wonderful time with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My guest was Dr. Iresha Gunasinghe, a consultant and a cardiologist, talking about her work in Compassionate Doctors in Ridgecrest, California and beyond, focusing on this mindful work and bringing our mental and physical health to a restored, balanced condition.
Well, that's my wrap. Next week, hoping to bring the good people, keeping watch on the Friendship Garden at the Tijuana, California border. Talk with you next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening.